The passage is Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 20, page 1136 on the brown and 1159 on the blue Bibles. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. It's great to see you here. There's a few faces hello. It's a bit ringy. Ranui. Hi, Ranui. I do. Yep. Good to see you. A few faces I haven't seen before. It's great to have you here at church. My name's Sam, and I'm one of the pastors. I don't know if you saw our sermon last week online where I sketched out for us a biblical picture of what singing and praise looks like from particularly the Old Testament, but also looking into the New. And last week we saw that God's people sing as they look back in history and see God's saving acts, as they look around in the present and see God at work in their lives right now, and as they look forward to the future, they sing. They sing as they look around. We saw that God's people sang a lot. They sang on special occasions. They sang in the weekly gathering, and they were also encouraged in the Psalms to sing to God day by day. We saw the people of God singing to themselves, reminding themselves of truths from the gospel that they can easily forget. They sing to each other, reminding each other of the truths, and they sing psalms and songs to God as well. And we saw that they sing exuberantly. Particularly, we see that in the Old Testament, the people of God are full of life and joy. They sing loudly with many noisy instruments, cymbals, and they dance before God. They raise their voices together. And they do all of this in response to what God has done. They see God's actions, and because of what God has done and who he is, they praise him. Now, this afternoon, we're going to continue to think about that. We're going to look at the Bible, and we're going to see what it has to say to us, and we're going to look at ourselves as God's people and consider our own praise to him. And as we do, let's pray together. May the words of my lips and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Would you change us, renew us, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be thinking about our corporate, that is when we gather together, our corporate praise. But I want to begin by thinking about our individual lives of praise. As with prayer, the strength of our corporate prayer meetings is largely determined by our individual prayer lives and our individual spiritual relationships with God. And so it is with praise. Our corporate praise is largely determined by our individual praise and spiritual life. You, each one of you. And so I want to begin by considering a verse that I hadn't really seen before from that passage that Tal read to us from Ephesians 5. I'd seen it, but I'd never really taken much notice of it. The second half of verse 19 says, sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. Christians are those who are to sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord. Now, we're told to do two things, to sing and to make music in our hearts. And we're told to direct that towards someone, and that is God. And we're to do so in our hearts, more literally, with or from your hearts. There's a singing and a music making that is to come be with from within our hearts or from our hearts, and it's to go towards God. Now, in the Greek world, the word for heart, cardia, means more to them perhaps than it does to us. For us, our cardia or our heart is an organ in here, and we might say it's to do with our emotions in a sort of a metaphorical way. But for the Greek thinker, your cardia, your heart, is the center of your physical, your mental, and your spiritual self. The heart encompasses all of your kind of inner life, your thinking, your feeling, and your will. And so as Christians, we're encouraged to use all of this inner being that we have, our thoughts, our minds, our wills, our spirits, all of them to sing and to make music to the Lord. Now, on the surface of it, in the NIV Bible, this looks like a command, sing. It's like a verb. It's imperative. Sing, do it, and make music to the Lord. But actually, this verse is an outworking of an earlier command. The other versions, like the ESV, for example, make it more clear. But the actual command here that Paul gives is found a bit further back in verse 18. Verse 18 has two commands. The first one is, do not be drunk on wine. That's your first command. The second command is, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the imperative. That's the command. Be filled with the Spirit. And then from then on, Paul gives a list of ing words, ing words, that flesh out what that being filled with the Spirit looks like. In technical language speak, they're called participles. These ing words flesh out what being filled with the Spirit looks like. And so perhaps a better way to kind of read these verses would be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and music making in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always to God the Father for everything, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. A lot of the versions break it up and put full stops in there, but these are all ing words that all flow out of the command to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit means speaking, singing, musicking, thanksgiving, and submitting. And I labor this point to show that being a part of being a Spirit-filled Christian, along with speaking God's word to each other and thanksgiving, is singing and making music in our hearts to the Lord. Now, we Christians believe that every believer has the Spirit in them, but the Bible also speaks about being filled with the Spirit. It tells Christians who already have the Spirit to be filled with the Spirit. And so here, part of that, it's not necessarily the whole thing, but part of being filled with the Spirit is singing and making music in our hearts to the Lord, using our whole being, all our inner thoughts and feelings and spirit and all that we are inside coming out as we sing and make music to the Lord in our hearts. How often would you do this throughout your week, singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord? Is it something you personally would do regularly? Or is it something that occurs mostly, or maybe even exclusively, when you come to church? The Holy Spirit is a gift from God to us. Jesus said he could have stayed, but he said it's better that I go to the Father so that I might send the Spirit. And the Spirit is a gift to us. He is a help to us. He helps us live out the Christian life. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is not limited to at church on Sunday. The Holy Spirit's not limited to a building or a day. We are to be filled with the Spirit. And an outflowing of being filled with the Spirit is that we make music in our hearts to the Lord and sing to him. And this is a gift. This is something that helps us in our spiritual life. If we don't do this already, let me encourage each one of us to put this into practice. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week. A couple of weeks ago when talking about prayer, I encouraged us to begin our day by looking at the Psalms. Start the day with a psalm, look at it, read it, digest it. Let that lead you into prayer, thanksgiving for who God is, how he's acted in the world. Let that begin to get your day on the right track. And this week I want to suggest that you add song into that little routine. When you're having a little quiet time with God, try adding in the words of some church songs, snatches of hymns, little bits that you can remember. Maybe as you're reading something in the psalm, it actually triggers. A lot of the songs we sing come straight out of the psalms. But maybe something will trigger a thought of a church song. Sing it. Just sing a little bit to God, just a few lines. You don't have to sing the whole song. You don't have to know all the words. You don't have to be able to sing it in tune. But let something in the inside come out to God. Sing away quietly to yourself and think about the words and make that to the Lord. You could start with, be thou my vision. It's a great prayer, and you can take those words and you can mean them and direct them to God. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. All else be naught to me, nothing to me except what you are. Now, the other day after my quiet time, I jumped in the shower and I just started singing an old song that I really do love. We never do it at church. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And there were things in my life that were threatening to kind of overshadow me and kind of take my attention. And I sang that, just that little refrain to myself, three or four times over, mulling over the words and thinking about them, so that the things of earth may grow strangely dim in my life as I look to his glory and grace. It was taking the thoughts and meditations of my heart and bringing them before the Lord in a song. Now, I could have just prayed that, but there's something about singing it. There's something about letting it out in that kind of way. It builds faith. It builds your relationship. It's an encouragement, I think, from the Spirit. There are loads of ways you could start. You could start with, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning my song shall rise to thee." Or you could start with, "Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace." Again, you don't have to know all the words. I always get the words of the hymns mixed up. "Be thou my vision." I don't know what part of verses 2 and 3 go together. I kind of chunk them together and then realize later I'm singing it wrong. It doesn't matter. God knows. He doesn't care. You don't need to be in tune. You don't need to be a great singer. Just try adding a bit of music making in your hearts to God as part of your daily devotion to him. Express yourself an overflow of what's inside to him. And the idea is just to raise that spiritual temperature of our lives just a little bit, to engage him with our hearts. Now, a good way to help us with this is to know lots of good Christian songs. And you can learn, there are lots of good songs here at church. We sing heaps of them, and a lot of the songs that I sing, I still sing now, were songs I learned when I was a kid at church in the 80s. "For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth." Scripture and song, so good, love it. Never sing here, but I'll crack them out from time to time, just to myself in my head. So this is a great place to learn Christian songs here at church. But I think another thing that we can often overlook is listening to Christian music throughout our week. And I wonder how many of us actually do that. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands, but I wonder how many of us listen to Christian music throughout the week. I sometimes hear Christians say, "Well, I don't listen to Christian music. It's lame. Christians can't do music." You know, especially if you really like your music, you're like, nah, B grade at best. And some people wear that like a badge of honor. And I would have said that at one point, I think, in my life as well. You sort of think maybe it gives you extra cred with the world if you don't really like Christian music. Nah, I like, you know, and list off some of the real current bands. And I think that's a mistake. See, the world wants to fill our heads with songs. Songs that tell a different story. Songs that make us love the things that the world loves. Songs that make us see the things the way the world sees it. And these songs, they've got a habit of getting to your mind, don't they? And they play away in the background of your mind, like the operating system of your computer, running away in the background. Often you're not even aware that it's there. When I was at the Pentecostal church I went to quite a few years ago, I used to listen to Christian music all the time. I used to listen to Delirious, love Delirious, Third Day, Chris Tomlin. I have these songs always on in the car and at home, always singing those sorts of songs. But for some reason, and it wasn't intentional, I don't know why, but when I came to, it was St. John's then, it's now Latimer, same church, I just stopped listening to those sorts of songs. I stopped listening to Christian music. It just sort of faded away, and it lasted for about 10 years. And I actually think that stopping that has been, I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back, I think it's been detrimental to my spiritual health. Only in recent years, last two or three years, Paula and I have started listening to Christian music again. And we would both testify as to what a help that has been in our personal relationships with God. Now, we often put it on in the kitchen if we happen to be in there together making dinner or something. Put on, at the moment we love a band called Shane and Shane. Oh, so good. Put that on, have it in the background. You know, you're singing along sometimes you're talking over the top of it, but you're listening to Christian music. Maybe you're pottering around the house, doing some jobs. Maybe you're driving in your car. Put on Christian music. Because Christian music helps keep the story of God in the background of our lives. It reminds us all week long how good he is. And it taps into our emotional register. Humans aren't just kind of intellectual beings. We're emotional beings. And sometimes a truth, we can know it in our head, but actually it's not until it gets into your heart that you kind of realize it more fully and more truly. Many people know that smoking is bad for you intellectually, but people go and smoke anyway. But if you've had someone that close to you die from lung cancer or something, you're going to have a totally different understanding of why smoking's bad for you than the intellectual one. And music gets things into your heart in a way that just plain words won't necessarily do that. Music moves us. It helps us to love God more. And it stays with us throughout the week. It's, as I said, music's like that little, what do they call it, an earworm, a little itch in your ear that keeps on singing those truths to you all throughout the week. And so we can sing and make music in our hearts to God as we sing these snatches of Christian songs, as we're driving along in the car or drifting around the supermarket or making our bed in the morning. If you don't think that you like Christian music, I suggest go and ask someone who likes Christian music, can you make some recommendations? There are loads of good bands out there. You've probably not heard of them. Shane and Shane is one that I've just mentioned, but there are loads more as well. Because I think it's impossible for you not to find a style of music that you would actually like. And because the content is so good, that's the powerful thing with Christian music, the words, the content of the gospel. Now, all of this is aimed, as I said, at turning up the spiritual temperature in our lives just a little bit. Now, you might not know what I mean by that. All I'm really saying is we want to be growing in our love for God. To turn up the spiritual temperature is us believing the gospel more and more. It's having our faith increasing and becoming more real and more solid. It's having the shiny things of the world that catch our eye sort of lose their sparkle a little bit, and the things of faith, the things of God, grow brighter and more prominent in our lives. Turning up the temperature results in having prayer come more easily. We're more willing to speak the word of God to one another. We're more open with our Christian friends. It's having a living faith. And I like the idea of just turning up the dial, turning up the temperature, because it's not an instant work. You don't go from cold to blazing hot like overnight. It's a slow transformation, slowly growing. And all Christians should be doing this. Little by little, we should all be deepening our faith, our conviction, our love, and our joy. Now, I've started by... There's a hair in my... I can see it in the light. I can't get it. It's going to annoy me. Anyway, I've started by thinking about our personal, individual spiritual lives because, as I said, we're a team, and when we gather together, we're made up of individuals. And so our corporate praise, our corporate singing is going to be largely determined by our individual spiritual overflow, our own spiritual lives. And so I want to move on to thinking about what does our praise here say about us as Latimer Church? Now, I'm sure it's quite obvious to most of us that the outward physical display of us Westerners at Latimer Church is, well, what's the word? Sedate, maybe? Subdued? I think that's probably fair. We're not particularly expressive when we sing. You might get someone tapping the old foot, or if they're really going for it, doing something like this. But otherwise, we can stand there quite singing like this. Now, I think we Kiwis are up against it. The Western culture generally is not particularly expressive, and we Kiwis take that to the next level. You know, we're laid back, we're understated, we're chilled out, we're relaxed. We don't make a fuss about anything. We're just casual and cool. We see this as a virtue. This is a great strength. And anyone who gets a bit head up about something or wears their emotions on the sleeve, we think they're a bit OTT. They're not really. That's not how we do things around here. Now, in contrast to that, there are other cultures around the world who are very outwardly active. The African church, for example, I'm sure you've seen videos. They wear bright colours and they sing and they dance and they get into it and they call out, preach it and hallelujah. Their meetings go on for hours. They're very outwardly expressive. And I want to walk a line here because I'm definitely not saying that we need to start to look like them. To try and copy their outward expression, I think, would be a mistake. It wouldn't really achieve anything and we'd all just feel rather stupid while we're doing it. But I do want us to have a think about the culture of singing and praise that we have here at Latimer. I mean, we are very sedate. And is it just our culture? Is that why we're not very expressive? Just because of our Kiwi culture? Or is there something deeper going on? I think it's both. Now, you can't judge a book by its cover, obviously. The outward expression can never reliably tell what's going on the inside. But I think it's fair to say that the outward does give some indication of what's going on the inside. It gives some indication. It's very obvious when you look at a young couple who are deeply in love, fire in their relationship. They're still dating, obviously. And when they go out together, they'll be sitting there at the coffee shop and they'll be leaning in. You know, their body posture, leaning forward, they're listening, they're hanging on every word from the other person, they're making eye contact, their smiles come so easily. And the outwards, they don't even know they're doing it, shows something of the inward. It shows a pretty clear window. They think each other's amazing. Fast forward 10 years, take that couple, things might not look quite the same in the coffee shop, particularly if life is going difficult, if there's a bit of a breakdown of relationship, if the relationship's grown a bit cold. And then they're sitting there a bit like this, stirring their coffee, not really making eye contact, perhaps sort of facing away from each other. The outward tells you what's going on the inward to a certain extent. And as someone who stands at the front leading music most weeks, not at this service, but at other services, I can tell you, you'll be surprised what you can see from the front, because you see everything. It's the same when you're preaching, you see the person who's falling asleep. And you see a lot from the front. You see, there are some people who are singing enthusiastically. Some people may even raise a hand. You see some people singing with their eyes closed. You see other people looking around the room. You see some people, they're mumbling the words. The mouth is moving, but you can tell they're really not thinking about them at all. You see some people just not even singing. And then you see some people standing there like this. They don't like the song. Or the way you're playing it, perhaps it's that. Now again, it's impossible to judge the heart from just looking at the outside. There have been times in my life when I've been in the church service, and it happened last year at the Latimer evening service, where I just stood there and I didn't sing, my mouth was shut. And I was listening to the words. If the words are particularly striking, sometimes I'll just focus on them and listen to the congregation sing. It's wonderful to hear that other people sing these truths, and it's uplifting for me. Now from the outside, my mouth wasn't moving, and it might look like I wasn't engaged with God, but it's quite the opposite. You can't always tell what's going on the inside by looking at the outside. And maybe your culture is just to stand there like this, but maybe your heart burns within you. Heck, I don't know. But I can tell you that usually if I'm not singing in church, it's usually because I don't like the song, or because I'm in a bad mood, or because I'm distracted by something else that isn't happening in the sermon that should, sorry, service that should be happening, or maybe because I'm tuned out and I'm thinking about the next thing that's happening in the week. That is usually, not always, but usually my outward posture tells you what's going on the inside. And I think it's the same with most of us, actually. When people have their eyes closed, it probably suggests that they are thinking about the words, focusing on God. When people raise a hand, it suggests that they're reaching out to God. If someone thrusts two hands into the air like this, you know, they're really having a moment. There's something good going on there. Now, again, I don't know for sure what's going on in the hearts, and I shouldn't judge anyone, but I think these postures do say something. So what do the postures of each one of us when we gather together to sing praise to God, what does that say about us? What does our lack of expression say about us? To what extent does our lack of expression reflect just our culture, and to what extent does it reflect the state of our hearts? Now, it could just be a cultural thing, as I said. It could just be that inside you're burning and loving it and you're thinking about God and you're being like spiritually uplifted, but you just don't show anything because our culture doesn't do anything. Maybe you'd like to express something, but you're a bit afraid of what people might think of you. It could be that. And I know from personal conversations with some people that some people do feel this way. And I think that's a shame. No one in church should ever feel that they have to do anything outward in order to look spiritual. No one should feel they have to raise their hands in order to look like they kind of got it all together. But on the other hand, no one should feel that they can't. We shouldn't feel that we can't physically express how we're feeling or our love for God. There's a guy who comes to Equip every year. I don't know if you've been to Equip. It's a great annual Bible kind of reading conference in January. And there's one guy who comes, he goes to a different church. You might have seen him if you've been there. During the singing, he'll usually be in the front row. And he thrusts both of his hands up in the air. He doesn't leave it at that, though. He jumps. He dances. He calls out, woohoo! And spins around. It's amazing. He'll be in the front by himself doing this thing. Now, I don't know what's going on in his heart. I really don't. He might be getting excited about KFC. I don't know. It could be anything, right? But if he is thinking about God, and if his praise is directed at God, then isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something like touching about that? And I saw him last year, and I thought, you know, I want to be like him. And also, I want him to know that what he's doing is awesome. I was going to go and join him. I didn't. But I did think about it, seriously thought about it. Shame on me for not doing it. I do love it that we have people in our churches who don't fit the norm. There are some people at Latimer Church who express themselves physically more than others. There are some people who move a little bit more. Some people may even call out an amen when something touches them. God bless them. There are some people who would raise a hand, and they don't care that they're swimming against the cultural tide. They'll do it anyway because they're doing it before God. And I like it because it gives us courage that if we wanted to, we could as well. We can express ourselves. No one should feel that they have to raise a hand or clap or dance or shout out or anything, but no one should feel that they can't either. So maybe our singing is sedate because of our culture, but maybe it's also sedate because of what's going on inside us. Maybe it's simply because we have lost the joy of the gospel. Maybe we've forgotten how good God is. Maybe we don't show anything on the outside, not because of cultural pressure, but because we don't feel much on the inside. Maybe it's because spiritually we're running on empty. We spend very little time with God. We don't invest in our spiritual lives. And so when we come together as the people of God, we don't have much to put out. Church meetings should be an overflow of our personal relationship with God. But when we're limping along, thinking about God very little throughout the week, spending little time with him, barely making it to church at all, then it's no surprise that as a group, our praise would be somewhat lacking in outward zeal or joy and heart. Now, I suspect that that's probably the case, the latter is probably the case for many of us. It's probably a combination of both culture and also the fires are dim within us. And I know this because I've been there. I feel like I'm coming out of I've been in a place of a cold heart where I've forgotten the joy of the gospel. And I feel like over the last, not that long really, 6 months, 12 months, I've been slowly coming out of that, the beginning of my journey out of that. For many of us, we're not held back by the culture as much as we are by our own heart. The message no longer surprises us or delights us or makes our hearts sing. We've become too familiar with it. We don't fill our hearts and our minds with his story. And this shows in our praise. And if this is us, then the first thing we need to do is admit this to ourselves and then decide to do something about it. Each one of us commit to turning up the spiritual temperature in our lives. One great thing you can do is read the Bible and let God there remind you of the goodness of the gospel. Let him stir your heart as you remember again that you were lost, that you were up to your eyes in debt, you were blind and deaf and dead in your sins, you'd wandered far from God, you were helpless, hopeless and hell-bound, but God came to find you. The light stepped into the darkness so that the darkness might be defeated. God conquered death so that you could live with him forever. The gospel is the greatest story the world has ever told. It's the greatest conceivable story. And our singing wells up from knowing the story and from loving the story and knowing and loving the God who came into our story to rescue us. This ought to come out of us in praise. What we put in will come out. So let God remind you of the story as you read his word and sing to him each day. Listen to Christian music that fill our hearts and our minds with the goodness of the gospel. Words that thrill us and melodies that melt our heart. And ask God to fill us with his spirit so that we might sing to him and make music to him in our hearts daily, in the car, in the supermarket, in the shower, in church. And when we gather together, remember that we gather together and sing praises to God with all creation. Creation itself sings praise to God, Isaiah 44. Sing for joy, you heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, you earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests, and all your trees. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays his glory in Israel. Imagine a church where all of its members were spiritually alive and well, where they were filled with the Spirit, singing and making music in their hearts to God throughout the week, and then on Sunday gathering together as a people of God to remember his saving acts, to sing to themselves, to sing to one another and to sing to God freely, loudly, expressively, without fear of being judged, only keen to please God and to give him the praise that he is due. How great would it be to be part of that church? It starts with each one of us in our own hearts. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we confess that too often our hearts do grow cold before you. Too often we fill our heads, our minds, our hearts with the things of this world, and we tag you on as an afterthought, popping along to church hoping for a bit of a spiritual fix, but most of the week just doing things ourselves. And we repent of that, and we ask that you would change us. Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that we might sing and make music in our hearts to you, giving thanks for everything. Would we know your story and love your story? Would we know you and love you? Would our days, our little moments, be filled with moments of praise to you, reflecting on who you are and how good you are? And would we gather together in your name and sing together, lifting our voices as one voice with all creation to praise you, the great God of all things, anticipating that great day in the future when we will all be gathered before your throne, singing together of your praises to the one on the throne and to the Lamb. Would you change us for our own benefit and for your sake, we pray. Amen.